from the Mercy One studio.
Welcome to Straight Talk, a lively discussion on tough issues impacting our lives. Every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Here's your host, Gene Wells, brought to you by Blackbird Investments.
Well, welcome to Straight Talk here on Iowa Catholic Radio. It's your weekly dose of news from the diocese and around the world, plus commentary on issues that are gross and disgusting, and that is today's topic. Okay, I could say it gives you angst. Well, I know this one does give me angst. You're listening to Straight Talk. You've got questions. We've got answers. I'm Jean Wells, and I count among my many blessings to be here at the Mercy One studio, broadcasting at Iowa Catholic Radio, and to Blackbird Investments for sponsoring Straight Talk. Doing what is challenging because it is right. That's Blackbird Investments. When it comes to building real estate, they look for creative solutions by forming strategic alliances, creating energy-efficient buildings, and engaging with local craftsmen. At its core, Blackbird believes in giving buildings a new life. For more information, blackbirdinvest.com. Now, on today's show, we're discussing the impact pornography is having on society and what we can do about it. Now, some of our discussions may be disturbing for children, so you may want to send the little ones off to play in their bedrooms or whatever. I'd like to say I have two experts in studio on pornography, but that might sound a little disgusting, too. John Gaffney is the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Des Moines, and Adam Story, Director of Marriage and Family Life for the diocese. And they are working on a new initiative that we're going to have some discussions about here throughout the show. But a little bit of background so we all know what we're talking about. Pornography or porn is any material, whether it's written, visual, or otherwise, that consists of sexually explicit material and is intended for sexual arousal. While pornography has existed in some form for 1,000 years, today it's most readily available online, though it does also continue to be available in the forms of literature, audio, magazines, pretty much everywhere. A survey by the world's largest porn site claims that in 2018 it had an average, daily average, of 92 million unique viewers, the vast majority of them males. Is that not disgusting or what? In a recent article from Psychology Today, research used to have us think that almost all men use porn, at least occasionally, but that women only use porn in a sexual context with their partner. But the research on men was basically correct, but they now know that up to a third of women report using pornography regularly, that is, weekly, with or without a partner present. Porn sites are among the top 50 most visited worldwide, and 90% of adults have viewed porn at least once. Last year, technology companies reported over 45 million online photos and videos, this is really disgusting, of children being sexually abused. That's more than double from the previous year. And to put that into perspective, just more than 10 years ago, it was less than 1 million images. Even that is too many. Let's look at some other news that's a little more cheerful. Have you heard that our new bishop has his own show on Iowa Catholic Radio called Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson? It's heard every Friday at 9 a.m., and he wants to hear from you. So tell us how you have experienced Jesus in the past week, and you can go to their website, or excuse me, you can go to their Facebook page, the Diocese of Des Moines. You can send us a text here at 515-223-1150 with the hashtag Bishop, and he might just talk about your witness story on the air. He very much wants to know how Jesus is impacting you in your life. Now, this past Friday, I found this interesting because of my connection with education. The U.S. Attorney General William Barr told students at Notre Dame that nowhere is the threat to religious freedom so great as in education. Education is ground zero in the fight for religious freedom, he said, in the U.S., because of the aggressive secularism, and warned of a rise in secularism that is intent upon the organized destruction of the Judeo-Christian ethic, which is what the U.S. was founded upon. This secular effort, he said, marshals the resources of academia, entertainment, and communications industries to promote a vision of life and morality that is fundamentally at odds with Christianity. Education, Attorney General Barr said, should lead students to the truth and teach them to love the truth and develop the discipline to live by it. However, he said, the times are hostile to this. And does that not fit in with our topic today? Some events coming up, of course, the Catholic Women's Conference is November 2nd. You can register for that at iowacatholicradio.com. We have some great speakers, Father Wade Menezes, Sonia Corbett, and Susan Tassoni, all of who we've interviewed here at Iowa Catholic Radio, all who I just love. Encourage your friends, your spouses, your coworkers to join us November 2nd. Register at iowacatholicradio.com. And Father John Ricardo is coming December 7th. Get your tickets. We have a wonderful venue at the Iowa Events Center. $20 tickets for general admission. And there is a meet and greet, $150 to meet and greet with Father John Ricardo prior to the event. So I hope you can all join us. When we come back, we will discuss pornography and how we can address this issue from a Catholic perspective with my guests, John Gaffney and Adam Story, both with the Diocese of Des Moines. John is the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis, and Adam, the Director of Marriage and Family Life. It's time for Straight Talk, right now on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Impoverished children break everyone's heart, but poverty seems like such a big problem. What can one person do to make a difference? For 17 years, Blessman International's passion has been to connect the resources of our donors with sustainable programs that impact the lives of impoverished children in South Africa. Our donors are feeding thousands of hungry children every week, providing basic water and sanitation for impoverished communities, and sharing the love of God in practical ways every day. Go to www.blessmaninternational.org and make your donation today.
Thank you to Tamia and Sons for your support of Dowling Catholic Football. Tamia and Sons is an Italian family restaurant with old country authentic Italian food. Enjoy the local atmosphere where you may even spot a priest. Take advantage of Tamia and Sons bocce ball court with the kids while enjoying their homemade bread, fried peppers, and real Italian desserts and more. Tamia and Sons is located on Southeast 1st Street, just south of downtown. Tamia and Sons.
Ladies, join Iowa Catholic Radio for our Women's Conference, The Soul of the Matter, on Saturday, November 2nd at St. Francis Church in West Des Moines. The day will begin with Mass, followed by three inspiring speakers. Father Wade Menezes, a member of the Fathers of Mercy, Sonia Corbett, a Catholic convert, and Susan Tassoni, a passionate champion for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. The day will also include beautiful music by Anna Nuzzo. Adoration and confession will be offered throughout the conference. For more information and to register, go to iowacatholicradio.com or call 515-223-1150.
Doing what is challenging because it's right. That's Blackbird Investments. In 2013, Blackbird Investments was born from the inspiration of St. Kevin. When it comes to building real estate, they look for creative solutions by forming strategic alliances, creating energy-efficient buildings, and engaging with local craftsmen. At its core, Blackbird Investments believes in giving buildings a new life. BlackbirdInvest.com. Blackbird Investments. Doing what is challenging because it's right.
Iowa Catholic Radio welcomes At Evening with Father Ricardo, sponsored by Ut Fidem, December 7th, 7 p.m. in the Grand Ballroom at the Iowa Events Center. Learn more at iowacatholicradio.com. Ut Fidem, Latin for keep the faith, strives to develop Dowling Catholic High School students who will keep the faith through college. Ut Fidem does this by supporting students in forming deep personal relationships with Christ through small group ministry and faith mentoring. Learn more about An Evening with Father John Ricardo, sponsored by Ut Fidem, Saturday, December 7th at iowacatholicradio.com.
Thank you, Skeffington's Formal Wear, for sponsoring Dowling Catholic High School football. In business since 1951, Skeffington's Formal Wear offers quality service, style, and selection, providing tuxedos, suits, and casual groom attire for weddings, proms, and any other special occasion. Skeffington's Formal Wear, with convenient locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Davenport, Coralville, and Ankeny. All locations are family-owned and operated by members in their respective communities, fitting you for life celebrations. Online at skeffingtons.com.
Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells. I encourage you to text us. This is a very sensitive topic. If you have a question or concern, or you feel like your spouse maybe has a problem and you don't know where to turn, you know, just send us a text. We don't see your name. It just pops up with a phone number, and we can hopefully provide you some direction or encouragement in taking steps in addressing this issue. We're talking about pornography today and how to address this issue from a Catholic perspective. And John Gaffney and Adam Story are joining me. They are both with the Diocese of Des Moines. John is the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis, and Adam, the Director of Marriage and Family Life. You both know them. You all know them because they're regulars here on Iowa Catholic Radio. And I have to tell you, I've just been schooled by Adam during the break, because he's like, you know, we don't need to shame people, Gene, you know, those. And John's like, those 45 million, those are human beings. Those are people. So let's start with that conversation about, you know, because I'm all like, this is disgusting. We have to get rid of this. And you're like, chill, Gene.
Well, yeah.
So let's just go there.
I mean, we do agree fundamentally. We do have to get rid of this.
Right.
It is profoundly harmful. And, you know, as you talk about the statistics, those are real. You know, that's real, and that's a true thing. And so, you know, we do have to address this. But mm-hmm. I think particularly, and, you know, John had brought up particularly with this topic, we're talking about something that can be addictive.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about something that really feeds kind of a cycle of shame and you know, self-loathing and those sorts of things. And I think it's important for people to know that, you know, what we offer as Catholics and what Christ offers us is something more than this. You know, this is a degradation of the person. This is a shrinking of the human dignity, right? And so freedom is possible, right? Authentic love, real love, is so much more and so much more beautiful than this, that the reason we don't want this in people's lives is because it's a selling ourselves for less of what we're worth. You know, it's a diminishment of the human person. But this is a topic that, you know, in marriage and family ministry I've worked with for, you know, since really early on in my tenure, and I've seen how it really can destroy a person, how it can destroy a marriage, how it can really hurt a family. But I've also seen healing and freedom and how people have come out of it and how, you know, people have been able to get this out of their lives and the joy and the happiness and the peace that it brings when that happens for someone. So, you know, I think my fundamental message, I mean, we agree, we have to get rid of it. You know, we have to get rid of it, but we can, and we should be joyful and hopeful because what God offers us, you know, we get stuck in this and we think that, well, this is what my life is, you know, this is where I'm at. But no, Christ's invitation is so much more than that. He wants so much more joy in our life than what sometimes we even expect for ourselves.
Okay, I'm just going to be obnoxious today, I guess. You know, it's like, that sounds wonderful. You know, God wants so much more than that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Miss America, oh, I want peace in the world. It's like, okay, but, you know, it's more than that. I mean, how do you make that tangible? You know, the love of God is much greater than that. How do you make that tangible when someone is so sucked into that addictive behavior that they think you're just throwing out fluff words, frosting on the cake? And it's like, really, you have no clue, Buster. You know, how hard this is. There's no real love in the world.
Well, you know, I do think, and this is when you talk about addictions and stuff, either you beat the addiction or the addiction beats you, you know? So it's
and this addiction, we talked about this during the break. It's, yes, we're talking about pornography today, but it's food addiction, it's alcohol addiction, it's addicted to smoking. It's those same characteristics, those same innate psychologies that draw you to these things that are detrimental to yourself.
Yeah, and you know, it's not to be sugarcoated to say, oh, well, just decide not to do it and it's done, you know. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of blood and sweat and tears that go into freedom. And it's a I was talking to Father Sean Kilcawley, a priest mm-hmm. who works with this. And he was talking about, you know, to start to be free, it's usually at least a 3-year process for freedom. So this isn't something that happens overnight, but it can happen. Mm-hmm. And I would sort of compare it to, you know, if people will say, well, that's pie in the sky. That's it's not going to happen. It's not mm-hmm. it's not possible. Well, that's
I'm
sort
too far gone.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's sort of like me looking at you know, a piece by Mozart and saying, well, that's not possible. You can't play that on the piano. It's, you know, it's too complex. It's mm-hmm. too, you know, it's never going to happen. For me, it never will, you know? But for somebody
it's
who...
It's a 3-year process, yeah. Adam. You can learn it in 3 years.
For somebody... But I know it is possible because I've heard people play really beautiful music. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they put in that blood, sweat, and tears, it can be done. And in my own experience, I've seen people achieve freedom. I've mm-hmm. seen it. And I've seen the joy that comes from the beauty of that life. And so it is possible. It's available to all of us if you put in the work.
Well, and you know, I'm listening to Gene and Adam doing their little fisticuffs back and forth. great conversation. But, you know, one of the things, too, is as I'm listening, your conversation is about those people already trapped in addiction. What does love look like? Love looks like helping someone we love or our neighbor to avoid going off that cliff. And so what about the people who aren't trapped in the addiction, who the pornographers are after? You know, you talked about the unique viewership.
Yes.
So that means people who've never actually logged in, who somehow got into that. You know, and so love looks like helping people.
I have to say, John, last night I was looking up some statistics, and for some unknown reason, I just typed in pornography in the search engine. Thank goodness I hadn't clicked on images. Right. And all of a sudden, all those websites came up that had lots of X's in them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm like, back up. You know, I meant to type in pornographic research or, you know, something to get some of this data.
Yeah. By the way, the diocesan MIS people are onto you now. No.
Yeah. Actually, I self-reported and said, if anything pops up, this is what happened. You know, and it's like, but yeah, it's that easy. You type, you go to type in permanent, and you type in permanent, you know, and just one typo, and you could all of a sudden be in sites that you
exactly
are shocked by.
So, a story that I've been sharing with parishes as Adam and I've been working with them is a person who's in adult faith formation now in our diocese. But when this happened, she was a DRE in the Archdiocese of Dubuque. And her parish was new to Vacation Bible School. And so she was in charge of this, and the volunteer team said, hey, since there's an evening component, let's have some toys that glow in the dark. So she went to Mr. Google and typed in glow-in-the-dark toys, and you never imagine that was her. That was what popped into her brain was these images that you can only imagine, sadly enough. But here's the way that love to respond to your question about what pie in the sky and this idea of love. Love is helping people build resiliency. You know, we think of the poverty situation that is across the United States and across the world. But we understand that resilience to poverty, to get out of the cycle of poverty, is possible. We think of, Adam talked about broken marriages. There's times when trust is severely broken, and somehow through God's grace and through incredible people journeying with them, broken marriages, there's a resilience so that marriage doesn't break. It's possible to raise young people in an over-sexualized culture mm-hmm. and have them have an understanding of authentic love. This is possible. We don't, and that's, I think, where I've really appreciated partnering with Adam because he really talks a lot about hope and how we have to keep the hope that Christ has won the victory for us, and we have to keep that hope alive, because resiliency for those who have yet to encounter pornography and help and hope for those who are already addicted is possible.
A thought that came to mind as you were talking about, you know, love in this marriage situation, and having been a single mom since my kids were 4 and 5, I oftentimes would point out to them couples at church. It's like, oh, you know, look at Adam and Kara. Look at John and Jane. You know, they're some of my favorite people. You know, and would give an example of, you know, they're always at Mass together, or they're, you know, oh, there's John and Jane at the spaghetti supper. Let's go sit with them. So, you know, is that a far stretch from our conversation? But if kids aren't in a home where they have a mom and dad that are good, solid examples, those kids don't know really how to have a healthy relationship. It's one of my regrets that my kids haven't seen that. So to all of our listeners out there that are in these wonderful marriages, know that you are role models to those single moms or single dads that are trying to help their kids see what a healthy, loving relationship looks like, so that they aren't pulled towards those websites, towards those relationships that are harmful towards them.
I think that that's well said, and that's, you know, that's why I think it's so vital for all of us to be comfortable talking about this topic, mm-hmm. because pornography is out there. We have to be able to address it, and I think the way to address it is to say, you know, real love is so much more than that. Mm-hmm. You know, real relationships are so much more beautiful than just using another person, than abusing another person. The real thing is so much better, and how do we do that as a whole community? Because for any of our families, you know, single parents, married parents, any of our families, we don't raise our children in isolation. We don't live our lives in isolation. So how are we accountable to each other? You know, I'm responsible for my kids, and I'm responsible for protecting them from exposure as long as I can. Mm-hmm. And I'm responsible for having conversations with them so that they're prepared when they are exposed, and they will be exposed. Now, I'm also responsible if my kids bring other kids into the house, I'm responsible to protect them. I'm responsible to keep them from being exposed. Now, I'll let their parents have the conversation with them, mm-hmm. but also I ought to talk to their parents. You know, if my kid is going over to your house, do you have protections in place? You know, mm-hmm. have you talked to your kids about this topic? We have to do this as a community. We have to do this as a network of families supporting each other, because this is bigger than any one family doing it alone.
Okay, but there, you know, you have all of a sudden have this conversation with, you know, John and Susie. You know, mm-hmm. oh, you know, little guys coming over to your house. You know, they're 7. Mm-hmm. They think they're big stuff. They know everything about computers, don't they? You know, and all of a sudden you have this conversation and, you know, one of the parents says, oh, come on. There's always been porn around. What is the big deal? Like, you know, and they give you that kind of blow you off kind of thing. What are you going to say to that?
Well, I'm going to take the steps that I need to take to protect my
kids.
And
your kids will not be going to their house.
Even if it is, my kids aren't going to John and Susie's house. Mm-hmm. But I think, I mean, there has always been pornography. I think how easily accessible it is, the anonymity with it today, that it's, you know, it doesn't cost anything. And in fact, the pornographers do seek us out. For all these different reasons, it's a lot more dangerous than what we mm-hmm. talked about, you know, 50 or 60 years ago.
Right. I mean, the only thing you had then was maybe Playboy that came right. in a brown wrapper, and now it's in a clear plastic cellophane on the... Yeah. You know, at eye level for kiddos at the checkout kind of line.
Well, and I also think your illustration is an example of an opportunity for us to have a conversation as adults about that, to educate people about the human trafficking that goes along with it. But even more as somebody who spends a lot of time with religious ed directors and teachers who are working with young people, you know, one of the things I'm always advocating is to talk to parents about their hopes and dreams for their young people. And so if I were having a conversation with this parent, I would say, you know, tell me about the hopes and dreams you have for your son and your daughter as they get older. And then, using facts, I would show how pornography can stop every single one of those hopes and dreams that they have, because all of them are focused on some kind of relationship, whether their vocation is priesthood, religious life, or marriage.
You're just trying to infringe on my freedom, John. I mean, come on, this isn't, it doesn't hurt anyone, and now all of a sudden you're telling me I have to purge my house of everything before your little guy is going to come over and have a sleepover.
Yes.
Okay, end of the show.
Yes.
And I do think, I mean, I think that that comes, that idea comes from, you know, to limit access to this takes away our freedom. Comes from a, I would call an impoverished view of freedom. You know, a lot of times we think about freedom as just license. It's just the ability to do whatever we choose to do. But real freedom is not freedom from things. It's freedom for something, freedom for the good. And I think if you talk to anybody who's addicted to anything and say, how free do you feel right now? You know, how free are you for what, how you really want to live your life, for your hopes and dreams? They recognize that I'm not so free, you know, and we limit things that are harmful to us. You know, we put boundaries around things that can hurt us. We do that with substances. Mm-hmm. We do that with behavior that we know can be addictive.
Mm-hmm. Well, and your entire thought process is about when are you going to get the brownie?
You know, when
are you going to, well, what time am I going to get home and what am I going to fix for supper? And it's like people that don't have that addiction probably don't think about supper until 45 minutes before they're going to have supper.
Yeah.
You know, and but I would assume that the same addiction is true for people if they smoke or drink or pornography. You know, oh, when can I get home? When can I get out of this work environment so I can get home? And what am I, where's my family going to be so I can do this?
You know, one of the things with that, the question that you raised, Gene, is the first thing I thought of was the wisdom of my dad, which is...
I heard he was brilliant.
He was brilliant. He kept getting more brilliant as the older I get. Now that I'm a grandfather, my dad is the smartest person I've ever known.
Ever.
But he would say, well, if your friend wants you to jump off a bridge, would you just go ahead and do it? And I think the thing of it is... I think that's that idea of freedom that Adam is talking about, that the role of parenting is indeed to go ahead and limit for the children, for for the well-being of the future. You know, when we're having young people, no matter what their skill is, learning how to ride a bike, or they've been riding a bike for a long time, we put a bike helmet on because brain injuries can definitely happen. Mm-hmm. When we are teaching them sports, we're making sure that they have the proper equipment so that they can enjoy the sport, enjoy every good aspect of the sport, but at the same time, we don't want them to have injuries. Here's an injury that's going to go at the very core of who they are, and it's going to frame every relationship. If you've got a young boy, it's going to frame every relationship that they move into as they get older, no matter what your values. So the question that I raise thoughtfully to parents, not in an argumentative way, but just one that I'd like them to ponder, is do you want to teach the values and morals to your young people, or do you want a pornographer to be able to do that for you, for one of the most important parts of the formation of your young people?
Well, ruminate on that thought for a few minutes. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how do we connect with parents? What do we as parents or grandparents need to know and do to protect our children? You're listening to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. Why do folks give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? Probably because they love Catholic schools, right? Partially, but they also like the tax benefits, or they were helped when their kids were in school, or they have been blessed and want to bless others. Whatever the reason, the 65% tax credits are great, And after all, it's for the kids and their future. Online, ctoiowa.org.
Doing what is challenging because it's right. That's Blackbird Investments. In 2013, Blackbird Investments was born from the inspiration of St. Kevin. When it comes to building real estate, they look for creative solutions by forming strategic alliances, creating energy-efficient buildings, and engaging with local craftsmen. At its core, Blackbird Investments believes in giving buildings a new life. BlackbirdInvest.com. Blackbird Investments, doing what is challenging because it's right.
Thank you to Mercy College of Health Sciences, downtown Des Moines, for underwriting our show, The Uncommon Good, with me, Bo Bonner.
And I'm Bud Marr. A degree from Mercy College provides endless possibilities. Students have access to patients with complex medical conditions, state-of-the-art medical facilities, highly motivated healthcare professionals, and classroom professors that transform them into servant leaders.
You can start the programs in fall, spring, or summer. There are endless possibilities available online at mchs.edu/kwky.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Support for Dowling Catholic Sports 365 is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic, with two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling Catholic graduate, and Dr. Todd Pedig. The Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at Ashworth and 60th Street in West Des Moines, 515-440-4610, online at ashworthvision.com.
Ladies, join Iowa Catholic Radio for our Women's Conference, The Soul of the Matter, on Saturday, November 2nd at St. Francis Church in West Des Moines. The day will begin with Mass, followed by three inspiring speakers. Father Wade Meneses, a member of the Fathers of Mercy, Sonia Corbett, a Catholic convert, and Susan Tassoni, a passionate champion for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. The day will also include beautiful music by Anna Nuzzo. Adoration and confession will be offered throughout the conference. For more information and to register, go to iowacatholicradio.com or call 515-223-1150.
Support for Dowling Catholic Sports is provided by Two Rivers Glass and Door, creating commercial glass and aluminum storefronts. Also serving your home needs by creating custom frameless shower doors, mirrors, glass tabletops, and specialty glass. Two Rivers Glass and Door. Design, fabrication, and installation. 515-222-4860. Online at tworiversglass.com. Two Rivers Glass and Door. Serving imaginations since 1992.
Here's your forecast on Iowa Catholic Radio. Windy and cool for the afternoon. Mostly sunny. We'll be in the mid-50s. Wind gusting over 30 miles an hour. Breezy tonight. Upper 30s and partly cloudy. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds and low 50s. Weather is brought to you by Rock Valley Physical Therapy. Outstanding outpatient physical therapy and sports medicine rehabilitation with 7 convenient locations in the Des Moines metro and southwest Iowa area. I'm meteorologist Steve Hamilton on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Straight Talk here on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells, and today we are talking about about pornography, its impact on society, and what we can do about it in our homes and in our communities and all of our environments. My guests today are John Gaffney. He's the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Des Moines. He is a regular guest on John Leonetti in the morning, as is Adam Story, the Director of Marriage and Family Life for the Diocese of Des Moines. So you two are partnering up on a juicy topic, pornography. I mean, really? I mean, I know you guys work on the third floor with the diocese, but it's interesting. So we're going to talk a little bit about this work that you're doing. And one of the things, one of the pieces of information you sent me was, John, I think you mentioned that we need to start educating parents when their kids are around 7.
Yes.
I'm like, really? No. We don't want to talk about stuff like this when our kids are babies.
Why not?
Because they're babies. And we're embarrassed.
You know, I really do get that. I do get that. But think about any possible opportunity for preparation for something down the road. So, for example, this fall, people are taking the flu shots, or hopefully they are,
yeah,
because they are hoping to build up antibodies that will prevent them from getting the flu or at least keep the symptoms down once they get it. This is in a very similar way. We know that for statistics, nationwide statistics, that the first exposure for a young person is between 8 and 10 years old. That is when it's happening.
And so they're thinking, you know, what does my body look like? You know, they're interested that, oh, you know, girls look different than boys and boys look different than girls. And so if their first image is a pornography image, pornographic image, how that distorts for the rest of their lives.
Right. Well, and even let's stay focused in on the first occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
So the first occurrence is similar to probably what that DRE that I was sharing came across. They happened to come across an image that was probably terrifying, scary. And if we haven't started working on those conversations, if mom and dad haven't started working on what is the plan, what am I going to start doing to start building that trust so that those kind of conversations can happen once that happens, then if we wait until they're 8, 10, 12 years old, we're behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea behind our pilot program and working with parents, and we're working only with parents. So the measures that I'm working with the parishes that Adam and I are involved with, is only working with the parents, but helping create opportunities so that they have skills so that they're building up that trust, building up that communication. So when first occurrence happens, they have a game plan. And the second part of that is that because they have the game plan, because they have the communication opportunities, it's not just a one and done. And Adam, he'll do it far better than I do, but he has a very humorous story about brushing teeth and Gabriel, his son. But it's a great image.
Do we have time to tell this
story? I hope so, because it's a great image of why we have to have this communication over and over and over again. It's not just a one and done. And at the key of that is building trust and ability to communicate with mom and dad about anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, I want to hear the story about Gabriel and brushing his teeth.
Yeah, you know, and I think one of the fundamental things we're trying to do is equip parents to have these conversations with their kids. And usually when you talk to people about, you know, what sort of sexual education did you get in your home? What sort of conversations about...
Mine was, did they have the talk at school? And I said, yes. Okay, good.
Yep,
yes, exactly.
The whole thing.
Yep. And, yeah, it might be one conversation. It might be a minute long. It might be 30 seconds long. But it's one conversation, maybe around 13, 14 years old, and then you're done. And I just think, you know, my kids right now, they're 7, 5, and 3. And a topic that's a lot less controversial, that's a lot easier to talk about, is brushing your teeth. And I will tell you, I mean, if you add it up, I've probably talked to my kids for hours about the importance of brushing their teeth, about why they need to do it, why they should do it, why it's good for them. There's a negotiation every night about brushing their teeth. Usually it ends with a kid in a headlock and me brushing their teeth, you know? And that's how it goes. But this is an important thing. This is a skill that as an adult, you know, if my child grows up and does not know anything about dental hygiene, I've failed as a parent, you know, I've failed. And so sexuality, you know, it's not one conversation. It's not 30
indeed.
Seconds. As we raise our kids, are we willing to go back to this topic over and over again? Are we willing to teach them and to answer their questions and not always to have the answers, you know? Gabriel can ask pretty profound questions about dental hygiene. You know, these teeth are falling out anyway. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Right? And it's hard to answer that, you know? Well, it just is. Just do it, you know?
I'm the dad. Just do it.
Yeah, yeah. But you keep going back to it mm-hmm. because it's important.
And, you know, it's interesting. I had my grandkids this weekend, and Maddie was playing with the Barbie dolls, and there's Ken and Barbie, and they got married,
mm-hmm.
by the
mm-hmm.
way. And then she made her brother be Ken, which he was thrilled about. So they went over to a little table and they got married and she said, okay, now we kiss. And so, you know, the Barbie and Ken dolls, you know, hit their faces and then Drew makes throw up sounds. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, what a great opportunity to talk about, you know, marriage in a, you know, that 3 and 4 year old or 4 and 5 year old age bracket, which isn't,
right,
and you know, a huge deep level conversation, but it's about, you know, having these relationships and getting married. And
and I think that's an important point, that you have the conversation in ways that are appropriate to the age. And there are great resources. One of the ones that John highlights for young children is a book, Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, that there's a younger version that can go down to 3 or 4 years old. And then there's an older version that goes from about 7 to, I think, about 11 or so.
Exactly.
But, you know, there are resources to help us have these conversations. You know, I'm a parent. I know it's not easy. And I know you have to have it in a way that's appropriate to their age.
Right.
But it can be done.
No, and that's exactly correct. So in our working with parents of children who are going through First Communion, and we'll have a separate one for parents of teens going through confirmation. It's a little different because what we're going to be talking about is swimming in an over-sexualized culture. So we're not saying that your child has necessarily been exposed to pornography, but they have certainly are swimming in this over-sexualized culture. And so how do we help them? But with the younger children, the idea is through the opportunity of having good pictures, bad pictures as a resource, and reading that with their young people. So I've picked up the younger version for the parents, my two stepdaughters, who have two young children. Kirby's going to be turning 4, and I think 4 is a great opportunity. They've already started working on, you know, making sure that there are certain parts of their body that, you know, only mom and dad see, that they're actually calling things by the correct anatomical names. So they're doing the groundwork, but these resources help them build build that trust, build that resiliency, so that when any of those grandchildren should come across it, they're not going to be part of the group that gets sucked in. You know, right now, 80% of teens ages 15 to 17 have had multiple exposures to hardcore porn. We're not just talking about picture. We're talking about really hardcore
images,
porn. And 67% of kids admit to cleaning their browser history. They're very technologically savvy. So if mom and dad are trying to see, well, my kid's good.
Yeah. There's nothing on here.
So we want to help those parents be able to have that knowledge and be equipped to help their young people as they continue to form.
One last resource before we take this break. There's a video out there. It's about 90 minutes. It's on the website brainheartworld.org. It was eye-opening. You guys had shared that with me as preparing for this. It includes Elizabeth Smart and, you know, how pornography is oftentimes connected with human trafficking. So we want to keep that in mind, but also stories of folks that have had this addiction who are free from it now, and just things as a parent you don't want to know about, but you have to know.
Yep.
So check out this video at brainheartworld.org. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about these diocesan efforts, what Father Kilcally is doing here at the diocese, Safe Haven Sundays, and so much more. You're listening to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. The Catholic Tuition Organization provides the best tax savings over any other charitable giving in the state. 65% of your contribution directly reduces your Iowa income tax liability. Plus, there are still federal deductibility options to further save on taxes. Find details online, ctoiowa.org. All this for the kids and their future.
Vitae Family Care is part of the Iowa Catholic Radio family. Pro-life physician Greg McKernan, a DO, has practiced for 27 years, seeing patients of all ages with just about every kind of need. Dr. McKernan lives his faith as a physician and is trained in NAPRO technology, allowing him to diagnose and treat many female conditions and even markedly reduce the occurrence of a miscarriage. VitaeFamilyCare.com. Remember, Vitae is Latin for life.
Iowa Catholic Radio welcomes At Evening with Father Ricardo, sponsored by Ut Fidem, December 7th, 7 p.m. in the Grand Ballroom at the Iowa Event Center. Learn more at iowacatholicradio.com. Ut Fidem, Latin for Keep the Faith, strives to develop Dowling Catholic High School students who will keep the faith through college. Ut Fidem does this by supporting students in forming deep personal relationships with Christ through small group ministry and faith mentoring. Learn more about An Evening with Father John Ricardo, sponsored by Ut Fidem, Saturday, December 7th at iowacatholicradio.com.
Since 1924, St. Vincent de Paul has been helping those less fortunate work towards self-sufficiency. Last year, St. Vincent de Paul helped over 20,000 individuals with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. SVDPDSM.org, 515-282-8327. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. This message was brought to you by Homemakers Furniture.
Partial support for Catholic Women Now comes from injury attorney Fred Haas. When Iowans have been injured through no fault of their own in a car, truck, or motorcycle accident, harmed in a work-related injury, or suffered injury due to negligence of others, Fred Haas has been on their side to help recover from financial, physical, and emotional loss. Fred, double D, Haas, double A. Online at fredhaas.com. The Des Moines Law Offices of Fred Haas. While we have time, let us do good.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio's broadcast of Dowling Catholic Sports and Activities is provided by Kemin, a global ingredient manufacturer using science to transform the quality of life for 80% of the world. Kemin is on the leading edge of molecular science, manufacturing more than 500 specialty ingredients for the human and animal health and nutrition, pet food, aquaculture, nutraceutical, food technologies, crop technologies, and textile industries. Kemin strives to sustainably transform the quality of life every day for 80% of the world with their products and services. Kemin, using science to transform the world. Online at Kemin.com.
Well, welcome back to Straight Talk here at Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells, and my guests today are John Gaffney and Adam Story, both with the Diocese of Des Moines, both regulars here on Iowa Catholic Radio. And they are on today because we want to talk specifically about some of the efforts that are going on in the Diocese of Des Moines. And John, you mentioned, you know, the First Communion prep, some things, and confirmation prep. Adam, you mentioned Father Kilcally. So what you mentioned, there's a study day. So what's happening? What's coming up?
Yeah, well, all of our efforts, and it's been a gift to work on this with John. And I think that at the heart of it, our efforts is to create those safe places to have these conversations, to become educated, educated about the topic, educated mm-hmm. about resources for prevention, and then educated about resources for healing if a person is struggling with this. And we're doing that on different levels. The Family Life Director for the Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska is Father Sean Kilcally. And he's done tremendous work on this topic. A lot of his priesthood has been dedicated to helping people become free in this issue. And so I'm really excited in November he's going to come talk to our priests about this topic and about what are some of the resources out there, educational, again, resources for education, for prevention, but then also for healing, so that we can equip our mm-hmm. parishes. You know, we talk about this is a communal issue. This is an issue that's not just isolated to one person or one home. We're in this battle together. And so how do we enter into it well? How do we do it effectively? Mm-hmm. That's what he's going to talk about, which ultimately it's about equipping the parishes to address this.
Well, and we've talked a lot about prevention. We haven't talked a lot about those that are mired in this mm-hmm. addiction. And we do have Catholic Charities counseling offices down at our headquarters at 6th and Grand. If folks really want to reach out and you know, seek someone that can help them. There's lots of counseling services out there, of course.
Yeah, I would recommend, because there's different levels of a person's struggle, and sometimes mm-hmm. it does take professional counseling, and even mm-hmm. it'll take at times in-house or like check-in treatment to be free. Mm. But we do in Des Moines. We have both a male and a female sexual addiction recovery therapist, and I think somebody trained in how to deal with sexual addiction is important for this topic. Mm-hmm. We have those resources on our website, but we have people, men and women, particularly trained to address this.
Yeah, women are not immune from this.
Absolutely not.
You know, yeah. you do think that, oh, it's just a man's issue. You know, men. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, women have the same addictions. And so I'm glad that Father Kilcawley is coming to talk to the priests. Are the parishes going to be encouraged to have, you know, teams of folks that work to implement these teachings? What's the long-range strategy, John?
So currently we're working with three parishes in the Des Moines metro area. And Adam and I have had the great pleasure of being with teams that the parish has put together to learn more about this issue, learn more about the opportunities to assist with education, to assist with healing, and to come together as a community to address it. This month, we have launched Safe Haven Sundays in these three parishes, where the priests or their associates have preached on this. And that's pretty daunting. I can only imagine what it is to give a homily anyway, but then, you know, you're looking out at various ages and, you know, how do we hit this particular
issue? You don't
want
to give anyone eye contact because they might think that you're talking about them.
Exactly.
You know?
But it's an important conversation, and with that is a resource that was distributed called Equipped through Covenant Eyes, which again is an opportunity for education. But the most important thing in those Safe Haven Sundays is this is a safe haven. Our parish community is a place where we are here to accompany and to love people through a variety of issues that are affecting their lives, including this one. And so that that was an important aspect as well.
So this resource that's being handed out, is that for parents to help prepare their kids? Is it for their own healing process in these Safe Haven Sundays?
So I think the booklet's particularly aimed towards parents, but I think it's valuable for any household. And okay. There's actually, when you get it, you can sign up for a 7-day email course that talks about how to have these conversations, how to protect yourself and your home. And I think it's a booklet for any household to look at how do we make this home a safe haven mm-hmm. as well.
So is the plan then to take this to all parishes at some point in time, John?
Yes. So once we learn and go back and have conversations with how it is working, is to share it with all parishes so that in the diocese. Mm-hmm. And Father Kilcawley in the study day is a giant leap forward to educating the entire presbyterate as well. But then also, you know, similar to the conversation you and Adam were having or at the beginning, mm-hmm. Because it is disgusting and you almost have to take a shower afterwards. But we have to realize that these people are victims. So in the confessional, how is Father working with this man or woman, and what are the resources?
He's not going to say to him or her, "You are a disgusting human being.
Yes.
You need to get your life together, straighten up, and fly right. You know, and then come back and see me."
Exactly.
That's never going to happen.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But then also, what happens post? So we have this sacramental opportunity with Jesus, and then what happens after we're outside the confessional?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's because healing is extremely at the core of what this work is that Adam is working on, especially in his area of expertise.
It's time to wrap up here, folks. But if your parish, if you have an interest in doing this, get on into the next batch of parishes. Reach out. Call the diocese. Ask for John or Adam. Let them know of your interest in bringing this to your parish because, you know, as this starts to roll out, there has to be a core group of people at those parishes that want to help implement this. I want to thank my guests, John Gaffney and Adam Story, so much for joining us, talking about this topic. Yes, we need to talk about it, folks. We need to make sure that everyone is aware and that we are helping to build that loving community that God so desires of us. Thanks to our producer, Jimmy Olson. I'm Jean Wells, and today asking St. Augustine, who as a young man was attached to lustful thoughts and behaviors, and we ask him to intercede for our society, for ourselves, to purge the pornography industry from its very existence. Iowa Catholic Radio and Straight Talk are here on the air because of your prayers and generosity, so we thank you for that. And please consider a tax-deductible gift to this ministry. Go to iowacatholicradio.com. Straight Talk is live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and rebroadcast at 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Stay tuned now for Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo. God bless.
Straight Talk, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio with Gene Wells. Brought to you by Blackbird Investments.